The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
Sure enough, the ref was over. What's your name? And him talking to me for all match the ref. He's the captain for Trouser, he's chatting to me. I'm loving the Paddy set. Paddy Andrews, red card.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. The OTB Podcast Network.
We're turning to rugby now, Gordon Darcy. Good morning to you.
Good morning. How are we getting on?
Good. You're looking very fresh for a man who's five days to lift off, am I right?
Yeah, well, I've a seven-month-old, so my day started a few hours ago.
Tell us about your doing a 850-kilometre cycle across 4 days for Bardstown.
Yeah. So I suppose one of the things a lot of people did during lockdown was start getting into exercise, and I started doing a fair bit of cycling. I did got a watt bike in the side passage when we were stuck inside the 2K and the 5K, and I suppose it's been a while since I really pushed myself, and I decided I was going to do something. So I kind of sat down and kind of mapped out a few different ideas, and what I'm doing is I'm going around, I'm starting in Lansdowne, I'm going through 9 AIL rugby clubs, a little bit of community, COVID compliant, and just calling into some clubs, trying to build a bit of community spirit, trying to get little kids involved to help fundraise for less fortunate little kids. And I've been a patron of Bardstown for an ambassador for them for forever. So the two things kind of came together.
Yeah, they do incredible work for kids that are living with serious illness, and we're going to give the details of how people can get involved as well in a moment. But how long have you been training, and what sort of stage are you at now? Is it that sort of tapering down phase, or are you still?
Yeah. So I've done all the hard work. I did last Tuesday. I did a kind of a volume day, which was like about 120k in about five, kind of broken up over 5 hours. So I'll need to do that. I'm going to be averaging for the first 3 days, first 2 days is 250k a day. The second day it's 200k, and then it's the balance then on the last day to try and get back before the first Lions test. So I have a really good coach, Scott, who's been helping me out, because I'm not made for cycling. I'm made for running into big people. So this endurance thing is something new, and that's actually the bit I really enjoy, which is actually the mental challenge as well as the physical challenge. The physical challenge is going to having a sore arse for 4 days, and then the mental bit is being on the road on my own. My brother's amazing. He's driving a car, and just a quick shout out to Windsor Motor, who are giving me a car to drive, but it's pretty much just me, myself, and I on the road. My brother to give me a cup of coffee along the way. So Ian, thanks very much. You're a legend. And that's it. Like, it's just a bit of fun. And all the clubs have just been amazing. I actually can't say enough to all the clubs. They've all got so engaged. Some of them are going to cycle out or back in like a kilometre or two with me. But like, I'm from Wexford community clubs. It's all about the people in the clubs, and all these clubs have just been fantastic. So really, I can't thank them enough. It's like Lansdowne, Nace, Nina, Garryowen, Galwegians, Roscommon, Craigs, yeah, up to Dungannon, Belfast, Harlequins, Dundalk, and down to Bardstown. So it's a fair old clip, and everybody's really getting involved, which is great.
Yeah, that first clip, I'm knackered if I ever have to drive that length in a car. So I can only imagine. Did you say 120 kilometres? What's been your longest, given that you were doing 250 for the first couple of days? What's your longest spin out so far?
It's been about 250k.
Right, you've done it, so.
I have done it. I just haven't done it 3 days in a row.
Yeah. That's where the tough bit kicks in. And you've over €5,000 raised already. We're going to put up the Just Giving link on our own social pages this morning. People can check out your own social handle as well, I'm sure, for progress over the few days. And we will be checking in with you again as well. So listen, best of luck on that front, and well done, obviously, as well. Talk to us a little bit about the rugby, obviously, Lions coming up this weekend, and all in the lead into the first test. I was interested in the post-match interviews the other night with Conor Murray and Mauro Itoje, particularly, where they were asked about the return of Alan Wynne-Jones, and they both had a grin sort of coming across their face that maybe they didn't necessarily want to be there, but it said to me that maybe personally they weren't really that encouraging of Alwyn Jones coming back into it. I'm sure that's, obviously it's not what they said, and I'm sure within the camp it's not what they'll say either. But any is it all positive that he's coming back in, Gordon, or any chance that it, because it was it's unexpected, that it upsets the apple cart?
It couldn't be any more COVID, could it? I think this is like, COVID is going to become a verb, or it's going to become something that we, you know, the urban dictionaries, and eventually end up in the Weber and whatnot. It's one of those things, you have to see him on the football field. He comes back in, I presume he comes back in as tour captain, and he has to play. And if he proves he comes back in, I don't think a Toje has a huge amount to worry. I think given the way this Lions has gone, there's a lot of players are going to be playing. They may not be playing in their preferred position, but given the way that Toje played on Wednesday, he was one of the guys that was matching the South African the emerging Springboks on Wednesday. I don't think out of all the players so far that you can leave him out. And I think, you know, Conor Murray, you know, this, the captaincy thing and everything, it's been so distracting for him. And it, you know, and the game didn't go his way on Wednesday night, and I think, you know, the physicality that the Springboks brought versus the lack of tempo that the Lions brought, it really didn't play to Conor's strength. So I think it was more, you know, from Conor Murray's perspective, he's just there going, I had played my last game ahead of the first test, and I didn't put my best foot forward.
Yeah, it's possible that the other side of it is that he's secretly delighted that, like, I mean, because you're even looking at him on the practical side of being a captain on the pitch the other night, and there's times where he just looks like, understandably, by the way, because he's never done the job before, that he just doesn't know how he should be talking to the referee or how he should be behaving.
Yeah, you can see Owen Farrell was already doing it before he even kind of went to do it. But that wasn't the kind of captain he was picked for. He was picked as a tour captain. We kind of talked about this the last time, guys, that he can allow those guys to fill in the gaps. But the prerequisite was that he was hitting form.
Yeah.
And I think the challenge he has is that the game needed a spark, and he was playing very much the game he's been playing for Munster and for Ireland, which was a tempo-ish game and very box kick-driven. And he didn't really try to increase the tempo or change or do anything. And you got to wonder, with the way Gatland has talked about Ali Price and the way he's talked about Davies, is that going to hurt them? Because if one of those pulls, you know, the proverbial rabbit out of a hat now on at the weekend, where does that leave them?
Yeah, Tommy Ball, I know last night, was very much of the opinion that it's Murray all the way, but we'll see. What's your 10, 12, 13 access for the first test?
I think Bundy struggled in the physical stakes, and has done well in the midweek games. But once you came up against Delande, you came up against, you know, 6'5" back rowers, I don't think he had the same impact on it. I think Henshaw, there was chatter before that game that, oh, you know, maybe he's out of sight, out of mind. I think Henshaw comes straight back in. I think he has to be the 12 that starts. I think bigger and Farrell access, and Finn Russell and Farrell access, won't really work, because both of those like to play with a traditional 12, and Farrell isn't a traditional 12. He's not a guy that you can, if you're a 10, you can carry the line, something's not on, you can drop it off to him. He is a second playmaker, and I don't think they're used to playing with those type of players. So I don't think Farrell really is in that 12 equation. 13-1 for me is really, really interesting. I go a little bit left field on this one. I think Harris, everything but passing, was really, really good against the Springbok, the emerging box. Had his passing be a little bit crisper, I think the Lions could have actually been in that game. And that's a big, big skill deficit to have going into that. So I think he's potentially a safe choice, but I actually think Elliot Daly could slot in there. I thought he looked really comfortable and starting to find form. And thing about Lions tour is sometimes you're going to find players that come out of left field and actually play with a bit of form, and you have to find positions for them. So in the same conversation is Otoje is going to start. He's going to be in there. Elliot Daly, I think, could be a potential option at 13.
We had Robbie Hench on the show before he flew out, Gordon, and he was saying that the difference between 12 and 13 is more negligible than ever at the moment, that you kind of need to be able to play both because you might be popping up in both positions throughout the game. Is that what you're seeing in this Lions tour so far in terms of the patterns of play?
Yeah, like there's an awful lot of kicking, and the opportunities to counter and actually play some footy seem to be quite small at the moment. So that does fit into exactly what Robbie's saying, is like the positions have become a little bit homogenized, and they're, you know, you're asking for the same skill set and you're asking for them to do the kind of same roles within one channels. But I think when you look at the difference between, say, what South Africa did at various points when they got over the game line, their kicking and their ability to play their game plan, which was very kicking orientated, was an awful lot more effective than, say, the Lions, because they struggled to get over the game line. But I do think when the way the Lions have to play and the way we've seen them looking to play is with that bit of pace and bit of tempo. And I do think you need a ball player in that 12 and 13 thing. I don't think you can have you can have a skill deficit there. You need somebody there that is able to get crisp passes away, particularly for Zamet. That almost try that he had that ball been not, you know, in the air for nearly 2 seconds, he scores that try. And that was, you know, and it's probably being a bit harsh on Harris, but you've got to be able to put those passes away. And I think someone like a Henshaw or a Daly is going to get those passes. Even if you take 0.5 of a second off those, or half a second off that, it's in the air for 1.5 seconds, he scores that try. He is that good of a player. So I think, I think the point of differentiation, the easy thing is to say, listen, we're just going to pick two smash and bash guys. We're going to be really physical, but you need to have that. You need to have either that ability to pass the ball, which Henshaw and I think Daly have particularly.
You mentioned the kicking game there on both sides. How impressed or otherwise have you been with how the Lions have approached that department?
You can just see, you're still seeing elements of the guys coming from the four different countries and the way they kick. You know, when it clicks, it's great, but you can still see the tempo, the way they go. The English guys are very, very good at chasing down the box kicks. But there's been so much disruption. You have wingers going to fullbacks. You have wingers going into the set. Like it has been all over the place. Particularly on Wednesday, I think we got a very good insight that the physical, if you really, really attack the breakdown against the Lions, they will slow down and they will box kick. And I think that's playing into the South African hands. So, and I don't think the Lions executed particularly well. So I think you get this false sense of security against some of the South African teams. You think, oh, the South Africans are going to be good. We saw in the Rainbow Cup, they're not always that good. And some of the teams that we played up to this point, they haven't been that good. And then you get the first of the four tests. And I don't think we even got parity in the air.
On Robbie Henshaw, Gordon, he's coming fast up on the rail for Ireland's best number 12. He's been in incredible form over the last year. Have you seen form like it? And what is there something changed about him, about his game, about his style? Or what are your thoughts on that?
I think he's just, I think you can get certain periods in your career where you're comfortable things and where you kind of, you know, you pass that point of almost caring and trying to please too many people. And it just seems like he's taking huge ownership of his game. And not trying to be everything. You know, when he played at 13, he had, not 15, he had everything, had the kicking game and had, you know, there was so many facets to his game, but the game around him has changed and you need to be not a jack of all trades or even good at all bits. You need to be really, really strong with, you know, one or two, three elements of it. And his physicality, his defence, his reading and defence has been phenomenal. And his ball carrying has been phenomenal. And then the small little subtle passing and the offloads and things have been brilliant. He has just hit that groove. And when you're in that, it looks effortless. You know, you talk about this, Ed McNulty would often talk about this, you know, that flow state where things are happening because you've done all the training, subconsciously you're primed, you're ready, your reads are good, and it all becomes this kind of self-fulfilling or virtuous circle. And it's really, really good to watch when you have a player like that on form because it looks effortless. They look like they have time on the ball. They look like their reads are, they're a step earlier than there, but it's confidence. So he's playing with confidence. He's earned it. He's had an unlucky period with injuries. But what he's doing, and this is, it's a real powerful thing to have in a team. The energy and the catalyst he gives players on the pitch for the moments that he's doing. He is huge. He has loads and loads of moments in a game, the high value ones, those four, five, six plays that he does in a game. They change the momentum for his players around him. He's like, he is a momentum changer. Much the same, like, there's plenty of players down through the years you've had that, but that's hugely valuable on a in a Lions tour. Like, we saw whoever was for the Springboks come through when he flattened Owen Farrell behind the line. Like, that's so powerful for your pack when you see that they can now march forward 10 yards and you're dominating the defensive line. If you can have that on the other side, and you've got Robbie Henshaw coming through, making hits, making reads in behind the gain line, carrying not into people, but around people or through gaps that he's so good at. That little subtle change of angle, a little bit like Jack Conan, that change of angle, attack a space, a soft shoulder, that's so much more valuable than that's, sorry, it's such a high currency at the moment that if you can get over the gain line by not running into people, quick ball you get there, something like that's what would force a Conor Murray onto the ball, and that's when he's at his best.
One other thing I just wanted to ask you about this morning, Gordon, is John Cooney's comments this week about Johnny Sexton. It was quite interesting. He said, when I first started playing with Leinster, I found it quite difficult the way he kind of spoke to me. This sort of, I guess, Michael Jordan level of determination and level of communication with his teammates. I'm just interested in your take on how effective that is in a modern dressing room, and how important characters like that, maybe not too many of them, but how important a few characters like that are in the modern dressing room.
Yeah, like, and it's really, you know, really important to have them. And I think you need, like, diversity, and like, whether it's anywhere, you need all of them. But the key point is, and this is one of the things we would have had to try and understand in Leinster at a certain point, is you need, it's not the characters, it's just the personalities are the personalities, but what you need to be able to do is be able to get them to talk to each other and I suppose value each other's opinion and respect each other's opinions, and I think that's a really, really hard thing to achieve in a change room. And that's why every team doesn't win something, because people might say, oh yeah, 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 I agree with that, but internally they don't. I think John's I always really enjoyed playing with John because he had that innate physical talent and skill, which is very, very rare. But John's a very, very determined and headstrong guy as well. It can be very easy to put the blame on the most dominant personality in the room. And like, listen, I got the dead stare off Johnny, and everything my fault for, you know, probably 10 years. But you learn the relationship, and you're going, that's a vent from, say, Johnny. Something happens in a game and he looks at me and they're going, I was like, oh, listen, you know, I'm sure he's not actually blaming me for a moment, but that's his process, and you get used to it and you learn the personality. But if you're equally headstrong and you start pushing back, and you have to learn how the moment was. And, you know, sometimes John was very hard to get him to do what was, you know, best for the team in a moment. Because he is, if you see it for Ulster, we see it for that creative spark in him is so powerful that sometimes that overrides other people's better judgment. So that's one of the biggest challenges a coach has, is trying to marry all of those pieces together. So, you know, if you have, say, a creative genius, like, some of the stuff he does is on a level with Dupont and Faf de Kerk and all these guys. When he plays, it's breathtaking. But trying to marry that with, somebody of Johnny's capabilities and vision, and, you know, it's World Player of the Year, you know, that doesn't happen by chance. And I think there's not every coach in the world would be able to. I suppose, align those two things.
Gordon, thanks a million. We've tweeted out the details for how people can get on board. People can see it on screen there. Best of luck with it if we're not talking to you, and hopefully catch you on the other side. Thanks a million.
Take care, guys.
Cheers. Gordon Darcy there, talking all things Lions. And as I said, he's doing an 850-kilometre round Ireland cycle. It's going to take him 4 days. He's absolutely mad for doing it, and you do need to get on board and throw him a few quid for a brilliant cause with Barrettstown. The details up on the screen, the details on our social channels, and the details up on Gordon's social channels as well.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.